Chapter 3, The Makings of a Missionary, Arlene's Childhood. My parents were working in an orphanage in a small town in central Illinois when I was born in the nearest hospital in Danville, Illinois. I was the first of four girls in the family. Many people thought we were not sisters because we each looked different and each had different color hair. I attended five different grade schools because our family moved often as my father changed jobs. My folks were nominal Christians when I was small, and we attended a liberal church. When I was about 5 years old, I was concerned about how I could go to heaven. When I asked my Sunday school teacher about it, she told me, "Just try to be a good girl. And if my good deeds were more than my bad deeds, then God would let me into heaven." I was not satisfied with that answer. I was worried that I could not be good enough, but no other explanation was given. When I was 7 years old, my family moved to a suburb of Chicago. Our family began attending a very good church in the area, Cicero Bible Church. Dr. William McCarroll was a blessing as he expounded the Word of God in truth. My parents grew spiritually under his ministry, and both received the assurance of their salvation and were baptized. I loved music and always played around on the piano, so my folks decided to send me to a school of music nearby. It was a wonderful opportunity for me, but I was too young to realize that at the time. I had a friend in church who could play the piano well enough to accompany our children's choir, and I was anxious to be able to play like that too. I was impatient when my piano teacher took me through all the basic things a pianist needs to know. After about 2 years, even though she gave me some hymns to play along with the secular pieces, she gave up on me because I would not practice the secular pieces and exercises. I just picked out hymns and played them when I practiced. As a result, my parents decided to stop my lessons, and I was not able to take lessons again until I was in high school and could work and pay for them myself. About the same time, at age 7 or 8, my parents had me babysit my younger sisters while they went a few miles away to choir practice at church. While they were gone, I sat down at the piano and lost myself in playing the piano. Meanwhile, my little sisters got into a lot of mischief. When we heard the key turn in the lock, we all ran up the stairs and jumped into our beds. Sometimes there was such a mess in the kitchen, my folks knew I had not done my job very well. One time, my 3-year-old sister had played cook and had taken out the cocoa, which was strewn all around the kitchen. She was punished by being closed in the dark playroom alone for a while. I felt guilty when I heard her crying because I knew I should have stopped her. Needless to say, my folks decided they needed to hire a real babysitter. While we were in the Chicago area, I enjoyed singing with the Sunday school songsters composed of the children from the primary department of Cicero Bible Church. In order to go to choir practice, I had to take a bus by myself to one stop, get a transfer ticket from the bus driver, and use it to ride another bus to the church. On one of these trips, I forgot to ask the bus driver for a transfer ticket. As I waited for the next bus to go home, I realized I had no money and no ticket for that bus. I started to cry. What could an 8-year-old do at a time like that? The Lord Jesus cared about this little girl, and He took care of me. Before the next bus arrived, a lady came to the bus stop. Seeing the tears in my eyes, she asked me what was wrong. When I told her, she said not to worry, and she would pay for my bus fare. What a wonderful lady, and we have a wonderful Lord. The Sunday school songsters were invited to sing on the air with the KYB Club on WMBI, the Moody Bible Institute radio station, with Aunt Teresa. KYB stands for Know Your Bible. I was fascinated with the microphones and cords and procedures of the broadcast. That was my first experience of being on the air. The program was broadcast live, and our families watched from behind a big glass window. A few years before that, I remember wondering where the people were who were talking and singing on the radio. I pulled the big upright radio away from the wall and looked behind it to find the people. Little did I realize someday the Lord would lead me to work in missionary radio in Africa and the Caribbean. I was an extremely proud little girl and never wanted anyone to know I did anything wrong. I needed to be convicted of my sins and have the Lord Jesus Christ forgive me and wash my sins away. Our church had a vacation Bible school when I was 8 years old. The teacher in our class needed to leave the classroom for a few minutes, and she instructed us children to stay in our seats at the table and not talk until she came back. When she left the room, most of the children decided to hide behind the piano to frighten her when she returned. One little boy and I remained at our seats since the teacher had told us to stay there. The other children kept begging us to come with them behind the piano. Finally, I gave in and joined them. But that one little boy stayed in his seat. The teacher returned shortly and was very disappointed in our disobedience. She commended the little boy and said she was going to reward him for obeying her. She opened her purse, took out her change purse, and emptied the coins in front of the boy. My eyes nearly popped out of my head when I saw that. I immediately jumped up and said, "Oh, teacher, teacher, I stayed in my seat most of the time you were gone." The teacher replied, "But you did disobey, didn't you?" I reluctantly shook my head, yes. I was caught doing wrong and was convicted of my sin. At the closing program for Vacation Bible School, the Lord spoke to me about asking His forgiveness for my sins and inviting Him to come into my heart. When the preacher, Brother Paul Levine, gave an invitation that night, I really wanted to go forward to accept Christ, but I was afraid. Brother Levine walked back and forth on the platform, pleading with folks to receive Christ as a Savior. I timidly raised my hand when he was walking to the other end of the platform so he would not see me. I did this several times until it seemed like a voice behind me said, "Go forward." I hardly knew when I walked down the aisle of the tent where the meeting was held. Several people were in line at the front waiting to talk to Mr. Levine. When my turn came, he asked me when I was saved. I had come on the wrong invitation, which was for people to make a public profession about being saved before that meeting. When he asked when I was saved, I told him I had never been saved. A kind lady took me by the hand and sat down with me and explained the way of salvation. She put my name in John 3:16 so that I would know God so loved Arlene. She helped me pray, and I asked the dear Lord Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart, and thanked Him for doing so. I was so happy my sins were forgiven. As I walked to school a few days later, The Lord gave me a confirmation of His presence in my life. A large billboard advertising beer was along the street where I walked. It had never meant anything to me before, but that day it seemed like my eyes were opened, and I realized beer was something bad. I knew Jesus had shown me that. I had a lot more things to learn about living for the Lord, but my Christian journey had begun. A testing time came to our family when I was in fifth grade. We had moved again, and we lived across the street from a cemetery. When my sister and I walked to school, we had to walk through that cemetery, but that did not bother us. However, it seemed difficult for my mother to look out the window and see that cemetery every day. During the middle of the night, my daddy woke me up and asked me to go ask the neighbor to call the doctor. My mom was very sick. I did not know what was wrong until later when I was told she had a nervous breakdown and had to go to a sanatorium for a while. We children were taken to our uncle's farm to spend the summer while Mom recuperated. By the time we returned, Daddy had moved us to the little town of Hoopston, the sweet corn capital of the world, where he had been given a good job and we had no cemetery in view. We attended a good fundamental church in Hoopston, where the whole family grew spiritually. The pastor involved the young people in witnessing opportunities like giving our testimonies in street meetings and being involved in outreach services to the Mexican migrant camps. The Lord spoke to me at that church about dedicating my life to Him for full-time Christian service. As I grew older and grew in the Lord, I enjoyed teaching the children in Sunday school and playing the piano for the services. That was especially enjoyable because I was able to play the piano while my mom played the organ. Mom loved music and wrote quite a few hymns and gospel songs and choruses. She was also a good example by handing out tracts and witnessing to the mailman, the milkman, and whoever came to the house. Those were joyous days in our family, and I thank the Lord for them.